Oh, hey friends, welcome back to Say What She She. This week I have a treat in store for you. I will be recapping Marriage Bootcamp, Reality Stars Family Edition, and we will also be recapping The Cartel Crew, episodes 2 and 3. We're going to play a little bit of catch up, that way I can time these episodes just right and get them out to you in a reasonable amount of time. There's always so much to talk about, and I want to chat with you guys on social media about them, so I thought it'd be great if I can just finally get that perfect timing down and get these episodes out so we can chat about it over in the social media groups. Okay, so on Marriage Bootcamp Reality Stars, we start off with continuation of the fight between Aaron and Jane off camera. As you remember, Jane was pretty upset about how everything went down, and really nothing changed from what we saw last week. Then we start off the episode with Jane bringing a photo album downstairs at breakfast, and she seems pretty proud of the pictures that she has of Aaron and his brother Nick, and she's just seeming like, you know, she's got that mom thing going when we're showing off these photos and going down memory lane and everything looks all rainbows and marshmallows. And then Aaron comes down and he seems to be adjusting well. He's looking okay and he's just living his life, and he comes down and his mom's, you know, immediately she says, hey, we made breakfast, we've got all kinds of food going, let's get you something to eat. And Aaron says, no, I don't want to eat. Then he opens up about how he has an eating disorder and that it stems from stress and all the stress that he has endured over the years. And that's kind of his coping thing, is I take it he can't eat when he is stressed out. And so mom, Jane, she says that, you know, she stuffs food down his face any chance that she can get, and he gets really upset about it. Pretty sad. We see that pretty often, don't we? Then Aaron and Jane go back and forth about the cash cow comment, and Jane states and stands behind the fact that she has never said that, and that she was pretty upset that that came up, because that has been something that has been haunting her on social media and on the internet for a very long time. And she even cries about it and says that she never said that and she doesn't want people to see her that way. And this whole time, Aaron is saying, this is how it is. This is how I feel. This is what it was. You treated me like the cash cow, and here we are. He also says, well, it's true. Then our good friend Alexis inserts herself. You know, I've noticed she does this a lot and it is getting annoying. And I think that now we are getting to the bottom of it. She tells Aaron how to present his views to his own mother, and he respectfully declines. He hits her with a, you are a nice girl, I love you like a sister, but knock it off. Let us deal with our things our way, and maybe you should focus on yourself. I found it pretty interesting that she did continuously insert herself in everybody's issues, and she sounds like a therapist. So this is a chick who's probably had a lot of therapy in her time, and she is using her knowledge onto other people instead of worrying about her own issues with her mother, Penelope. Jane ends up leaving the room after the whole breakfast debacle, and Alexis still counsels Aaron and goes to talk to Jane. And at this time, I am at my wit's end, and I'm like, why is she all up in their business? And then we cut to Dr. Ish and Dr. V off in the cut somewhere watching this whole thing go down, and they are saying the exact things that I'm saying in my head. So shout out to them. I should totally be some type of therapist or something. I should have a doctor in front of my name, right? Dr. Shishi. Can you see it? I can see it. Dr. Shishi. It's happening, y'all. Stay tuned. Anywho, Dr. Ish comes and puts an end to it. He goes to where Jane and Alexis are, and he says to Jane, hey, I understand your feelings. You have every right to feel the way you do. We are going to work through this and try to bring some validation to your feelings as well as Aaron's, and bring you guys together and see if we can help you. And then he says, well, Alexis, let's go ahead and go into another room and chat. And then he breaks it down to her, saying, you seem to be a fixer and somebody that you don't know who you are yourself. Our goal is to fix you and have you focus on you and your mother's issues. And you know, when she starts to cry, she says, you're absolutely right. I'm a fixer. That's what I do. I've always been that person. And me, the whole time, I'm like, oh, just stop. You are I don't want to say I don't like her, but I'm not a fan yet so far. I know that she has issues, but just like so many people say in the show, I don't get real from her. I get fake. She just wants to be a people pleaser. And that's okay. You can be a people pleaser, but you have to stay true to yourself and you have to stand up for something, right? What's that saying? If you don't stand up for something, you'll fall for everything. The next scene is the first activity of the day, the exercise of the day. Hungry, hungry family. So there's stuffed animals placed in this big pool, and it has just every single stuffed animal has different words on there, and it's going to be words that have something to do with their family and what their biggest issues are. So each family has a turn. They're on these bungee, grab the words that they think is their family's struggles. So they all get a chance to do that as a family, and then they talk about that. So they call this the pit of blame. So each family dives in and tries to get the animals that they feel most show off what their families go through or what their family issues are. Alexis, you can see her constantly trying to find animals for her mother. Like, oh, do you want this one? Oh, how about this one? And Corey totally busts her out and says, Alexis, let her find her own. You find some that you think fits for you and your family. So it's just one of those things where I'm starting to see that she likes to place the blame on other people for different things. Laura, she was pretty funny to watch her and her family. She wasn't really about finding the stuffed animals that best suited her family. She wanted to just find all of the animals and get as many as she could because I think she thought that that's what it was whoever got the most wins. You can tell she is very like athletic and she wants to win. She is a go-getter. She's that competition queen and she is all about winning. So that was pretty funny to watch. So they all line up together and, you know, as their families, and they kind of go through the different stuffed animals that each person or each family has gotten. Alexis was selfish and she said that was because she grew up as an adult and she felt like her mother was selfish for the choices that she had made. Corey's family came up with blame. Corey ends up taking all the blame. He says that he doesn't like conflict, and since he's always the one who's blamed, he just takes it. Dr. V, in her strong face, she tells him that is actually selfish because you don't allow other people to feel anything or take the blame, which made pretty good sense, and I had never even thought about it like that. And he also agrees, like, yep, I can see that. I can see that. Then Laura's is trust, and for her, it's the lack of communication. There's no trust between the family. Nobody respects each other. There's no communication, so there's no trust. And then Aaron's was lies. When he was 12 to 13 years old, he always asked how much money he was making, and his parents lied to him. So their big thing is the word lies. Corey, of course, gets into the conversation and Dr. V gets into it and says, you know what? I'm noticing that you are centering your issues around Jane and Aaron's situation. And Corey agrees and says, yes, that is true. And it's because I know exactly what he's going into. And I feel like, and I think this is where Dr. V was going to, she's saying, your issues are stemming from what happened to you with your mother. But their situation is not his situation. I really wish that Corey's mother, and I don't know where she is, if she's alive, I should probably look into that. But I feel like it might have done him a little more good if she were there. A lot of his issues are stemming from things that his mother did. So it would be great if she were there. Since she is not there, he does seem to be taking things out on Aaron's mother, Jane, which he says that he wants to be an advocate for Aaron because he understands what Aaron is going through. And that's really nice that they can have that connection and that relationship. But during this show and during these 10 days, he's really got to cut himself off from that and let Aaron and Jane take care of what they need to take care of and try to work through what they need to work through while he is there with his brother Eden and girlfriend Courtney. They should work on their situations separately. I know that it's good in this house. It's like a big therapy group support system that they can talk about things, but he's got to kind of chill out on how hard he goes for Jane. and I understand how passionate he is. But like I said, there has to be some type of line there. So as they're walking away, they go back into the house and Jane whispers to Aaron, "Did you hear what he said to me? You gotta stop him. You have to tell him to stop doing that." And then Aaron fires back with, "Oh, me? I have to tell him to stop? That's what the problem is right there." And that really struck me because she was looking for him to fight her battles and to be her voice. And she's the adult. She's the mom. As parents, we have to speak out for our kids. And I know that Aaron is an adult, but I think that that stemmed from something else from earlier in his lifetime where he had to be the cash cow, the breadwinner. He was helping to support his family and she relied on him. They also brought that up at a time where, you know, when they were talking about the lies, he was saying that he didn't want to perform anymore. And she would always say, "Okay, let's do one more," or "Let's do the reunion," or "Let's do this," even though he didn't want to do it. And since he is a people pleaser and wanted to please his mom, he kept agreeing to it. So she was saying, "Well, you lied because you said that this would be the last one. Every single one was a last one. And then we kept doing more." And she said, "Well, you lied because I would ask you, do you want to do another one? And you would say yes." So he was saying yes to please her, although he really didn't want to do it. So they were both lying in that instance. So now the next exercise they go to is called an amusement park. And what they are doing is they are going to play this paintball game where each family would go in and they have a target on them and the other families would shoot the person who they thought carried the most blame for whatever the word was that Dr. Ish and Dr. V gave them. The exercise was supposed to help with validation. And Dr. V kept stating that everybody wants to be liked and nobody is being real. So let's get them out here and let's have them place a blame, because as soon as things get real, that's when the real healing starts. The very first people that go out are going to be the Feltmans. And so it's Eden, Courtney, and Corey. Their word is respect. So where respect fits in there is that Corey feels like his brother doesn't respect him. And his brother feels the exact same way. A story that came up was Eden was really excited about something. He got some call about something and he told Corey, "Hey man, I just got this call and this is what's going on. This is going to be really great." And then Corey says, "Oh, that's really good." And then he starts talking about himself for the next 20 minutes. So there's just no respect there, and that was brought up, and I thought that that was pretty powerful. And then Alexis and her mother got up there, and their word was communication. They were pretty equal in that. They said that they just don't communicate well. They don't talk to each other about real issues, about different things. During all of these segments, I've noticed that the Govans are getting, they seem like a really loving family, so it's really sad that they have these underlying issues. But next, they are up and their word is trust. There's no trust there. All of that's pretty equal. They pretty much agree with that. All of the people in the house do. And the next one is the Carters. And theirs is lies, of course. And mostly everybody thinks that it's Jane. So they're not equal there. On that one, I think I agree with that as well. Jane seems to be, I mean, it's almost like Laura had said, she feels like Jane is lying, however, just kind of lying to herself. She really believes how she feels, but there's a part of her that she can't understand where Aaron's coming from. And so she tells herself one thing to make her feel, you know, better about the situations. So at this point, Dr. Ish and Dr. V are pretty upset. They say that everybody is avoiding conflict and everybody's being too nicey-nicey and passive about everything. And it's time to almost stir the pot. Because like I said before, they feel like they can't get real and get to the roots of these problems if nobody is being honest. That's how you get to the core, is to communicate, figure out everybody's true feelings and intentions, and get to the bottom of it. So Dr. Ish and Dr. V call a family meeting and they all meet up. Now during this family meeting, Dr. V is fired up and she's got on this cute little jean jumpsuit and these Jodeci boots. If you don't know what Jodeci boots are, please Google it. It's a thing. And she was rocking it. And she is just so stinking cute. I can't even handle it. She's got the strongest face in America, and I am here for it. And the way she talks, she's so matter of fact. And one of these days, I am going to mimic her because she is everything. But she is all fired up and she says, okay, everybody, you need to get real. The point of the exercise was for you to blame one person, to figure out who is the main culprit in the exercise, who is the one with the biggest issue, so that we can talk about it and figure it out. But all of you played nice and all of you pretty much shot everybody, except for our friend Alexis. For some reason, Alexis has no problem with telling people how they need to do things and how they need to feel and how they should cope and behave in the house. She's got all these strong feelings, but when it came to actually shooting people, she couldn't do it. And I agree with them. They think that it's because, one, she didn't want people to shoot her, and two, she didn't want to single anybody out. And come on, we're all here for the same reason. Like Laura said, like, let's be real. I mean, if we're here, let's do this. Let's be all in. So Alexis is the only one who chose not to shoot anyone. And Dr. V calls her out. She calls her to the table and tells other people to stand up. And she goes, pick somebody. And she said, well, I think they're equal. I think they're equally to blame. And so Dr. V was like, no, tell me how you really feel. And then so Alexis would say, well, I think Jane did these things, and I think Aaron did these things, or I think Jane did more, or, you know, however she feels about it. And Dr. V was like, see, you're a liar. So you could stand here and verbalize it and say how you feel, but you couldn't shoot anybody. Like, stop playing the fence. So Alexis sits down. You can see her little tears welling up in her eyes, and she's getting upset and she's getting emotional. And Dr. V does the exact same thing to Laura and her father Michael. She says, no, pick somebody. Who is to blame here? And Michael goes ahead and picks somebody. Laura stands behind what she says. At this time, Miss Alexis gets up and she is angry and she goes to the room, and now she's packing and she's ready to go. So Dr. Ish goes in, and I love the way he handled her, because it wasn't, oh no, please stay, everything's going to be okay, we just need to talk about it. He was like, no, what's your issue? Talk about it. Don't run from it. What's your issue? Let's chat about it. She's all, no, I'm packing up. She called me a liar and a fake, and that's not right. And I've already dealt with this in social media and on TV and blah, blah, blah. And so Dr. Ish says, so that's what your problem is you worry about what other people say. But just like her mother, Penelope, said, if more than one person is saying it, maybe you should take a look at it. Maybe it's a thing. So instead of running from it, it's time to face it and address it and see what you can do. Because, like, I watched Real Housewives of Orange County, and she wasn't that memorable to me. I mean, I remember her face, but I don't remember a whole lot about her edit or anything. I didn't love her. And just from watching this show, I just feel like she's so fake. I just don't get real from her at all. Now, real is Laura Govan. I wasn't the biggest fan of hers on Real or on Basketball Wives. I liked her, but she wasn't like my favorite character, but she was okay. But on this show, I just feel her 100%. I just feel like she is trying to be raw and get to the bottom of their issues. Now, if we can just get that dad on board, which I feel like there's hope, I think that they will be okay. And if we can get that mom, Gloria, to have a voice and to talk and to stand up to dad, I think that this can be good stuff. So I am interested to see what happens next week, and I think next week I will have a special guest on with me to talk about what happens in episode 3. So stay with me. Next, we will take a short break and be back with episodes 2 and 3 of The Cartel. Let's chat about The Cartel crew season 2. I'll sum up episode 2. Not a whole lot happened last episode, but a lot of stuff happened on episode 3. So let's talk about it. Stephanie and Kat met up and they argued, of course. They met up to discuss why Stephanie felt so comfortable and that it was necessary for her to show up to Eddie's job
risk his job, being embarrassed in front of his team members, and why she thought that that would be okay is beyond me. You don't do things like that. So Kat gets upset with Stephanie and says that that's not a true friend, that she needs to stay in her lane. And Kat tells Stephanie that if she forgives him, that she has to forgive him too. And that's only real. Also in that episode, Diana works with Magic for a record label and talent search, and she asks Stephanie to perform, but Stephanie's like, why would I even perform for you guys when you don't even like me as a person and I am almost signed to Young Money? So she takes it as she should probably not do it because, one, she's not friends with Diana, and Diana talked a lot of crap about her being signed to Lil Wayne and her music career last season, but also because she doesn't want it to look like she is not loyal to the Young Money empire. Next, Michael and Marie, they plan to fight the charges since the lawyer had told her that she would have to at least do 30 days if she takes the deal. If not, she risks getting a year or more. And Marie is having an issue with that because she's got the baby at home and she doesn't want to be away from her family, and she is just not cut out for jail. Who is? But she is not about that life, so she goes to the boxing ring where Michael is getting his practice on. He says, no, we're gonna fight it. You're not going to jail. I don't care how much money it costs. You are not going to jail. We will fight it. Then later on, the boys meet up and discuss things over having a cigar together. It's just a room full of beautiful Hispanic men. It is Eddie, Magic. By the way, Magic's name is spelled M-A-J-I-X. Can't wrap mind around that one, but that's what it is. So it's Eddie, Magic, Los, and Michael. So four beautiful men hanging out together, having a cigar, talking about life, talking about being free, out of jail, trying to do things the right way, stay out of jail. And then Eddie shares what happened between him and Stephanie at his job, where she walked in and completely played him, inappropriate, and how Kat needs to stick up for her man. Either she needs to choose her man or her best friend. Then, also in that episode, brother Nicole, he is having a Wild Kingdom photo shoot right there in their apartment, and she is not having it. She calls him weird and says he does a lot of weird things with all of these pictures that he's taking nowadays, like with butterflies, and today he had a snake. It's different. I don't know if I'd call it weird, but it's different. But she is not here for it, and that was one of those moments where I actually like Nicole. Not a whole lot of those moments, but we're gonna let her have that one. Today's episode, we open up with Michael and Magic sitting down in the backyard and having a conversation about their brand and company, Pure Blanco. It's a clothing line that they share together, and they talk about how they can grow their empire and how they can make more money and just be bigger. They want to be big as Niagara Falls, they said at one point during the show. So they have a meeting with this fella called Gold Toes. Real life, that's his name. That's what he goes by. And he tells them that he has this business venture that is exactly what they're looking for and what they need to get involved in. So the brand is Cookies, and they are talking about collabing with them, and it's a cannabis brand. They are interested in them. It's a legal marijuana company. They can collab their brands together, and it's the opportunity to make a lot of money. I am not too familiar with the Cookies brand. Haven't heard of it here where I am. Not a whole lot of that going on yet, but it's pretty interesting, and it seemed like it could be a pretty big deal. So, of course, Michael sees dollar signs and he's like, yeah, yeah, sign me up. That is what I'm about. And Magic is a little bit more apprehensive because he was in jail for something with drug charges. So he just wants to make sure that everything's legal and that he can't get in trouble for this, because they are in Florida and it is not legal there yet. All right, then we head into a family photo shoot with Diana and her children. So cute. I love the color scheme. They had on like jeans and white shirts, and she is just gorgeous. Her children are beautiful. That little boy in that face, oh, I just can't even handle it. They are so cute. They have this photo shoot, and it is so that their father, Diana's ex-husband, so that he can see the kids growing up and see the difference since they haven't seen their father and the father hasn't seen them. She thought it'd be a good idea to send some professional pictures so that she can see, or I'm sorry, so that he can see the growth and see how beautiful his children are. The oldest daughter, bless her heart, she's just not feeling it. And she says that she's really missing her dad. Her and her sister, who's next to her in age, are saying that they're so sad and that they just don't feel like any of it is right because Diana got out of jail and she didn't wait for her husband. She just moved on, and apparently she moved on pretty quickly. She moved on with this lady named Isis, whom she met in jail and formed a relationship with. Isis got out. They were together. She introduced her to her children, and they became almost a little sub family. The daughters are not here for it. They say, you know, we like Isis. However, we should have waited for dad. Diana makes a statement about, you know, your dad has 14 years. In that time, you might get married, have kids. Have you thought about that? And that oldest daughter says, oh, you know what? I'm not here for that. I am not going to be like you. I'm going to wait for dad. I can't have just anybody walk me down the aisle. And I just thought that was so thoughtful and so loving. And then they cut into In the Moment, or ITM, for oldest daughter. And she says that she is a daddy's girl and she just can't. She doesn't like living life without him, and she can't just move on like her mother did. And it's almost like she doesn't forgive her mother for doing that. I think it's so sad. I can understand why the mom would want to move on, because it does get lonely, and if the dad has so long, I can get that. But the whole loyalty thing and just sticking by your person, I can see both sides. I don't know where I stand. I guess it just depends on the situation and conversations that were had and what actually went down. Okay, so next we meet up with Stephanie at her apartment, and she has an old friend named, I think it's pronounced Yvette. It's I-V-E-T-T-E. Tell me what you guys think it is. She makes a point to say that she met her before Kat, so she's known her for a long time. They sit down and have some wine together and just hash out everything. She wants to confide in her over the disappointment and the fight that she had with her best friend, Kat. I just want to point out that Stephanie is pouring barefoot wine, and I can't understand that, because I feel like they're making some good money. You can do better than barefoot. I'm not putting barefoot down, but I buy barefoot. You have enough money to make yourself look like you do. Just fork out some dollars for the real stuff. You are not on my level. Let me change that. I am not on your level. You should not be drinking the same wine that I buy. So Steph tells her friend about her going to Eddie's job and what she said and what she did. And I am here for this friend, because friend Yvette said, oh, you did what? That is none of your business. You should not have done that. You need to stay in your lane. Blah, blah, blah. Steph says, you know what? I agree with you. I probably shouldn't have, but I stand by what I said. Everybody needs a friend like that, because that friend was like, no, you should not have done that. You have crossed the line. What are you going to do to fix it? Then later on in the conversation, Stephanie says that she feels so strongly about Eddie and Kat's relationship, because she sees Kat going down the same path that her mother went through. And she tells us about how much her father had put her mother through, and how he cheated on her and just drug her down, and the mother couldn't cope and she attempted suicide. Stephanie found her, took care of her, and she did not complete her suicide mission. So she has this feeling about men in general, and she classifies them all the same. And I knew it. I knew that something had happened to her to where she feels the way she does about dudes. And there it is. There's her story. So I understand it. I get it. But she has got to get help for it, because not all men are the same. Bless her heart. Next, we go to the beach with Diana and Marie. And they are in full makeup. And hair is beautiful. So I guess normal people like me, we don't wear makeup, put our hair up in a ponytail. Our main focus with going to the beach is that we cover up all our fat, right? Yep. You're with me. You gotta be, because I could never go to the beach and look that beautiful. Diana and Marie are both just head to toe gorgeous, beautiful swimsuits you probably wouldn't even go into the water in. So they talk about jail and life and about Diana's showcase and that she's still pissed off that Steph didn't show up. And Marie tells Diana about Steph going to Eddie's job and have this conversation about that's wrong. They shouldn't have done it. And if it were them, they would have slapped Stephanie. But they both come to the realization really quickly that they're having their moment and they're angry with each other now. But soon enough, they're going to talk it out and forgive each other because that's what they do. Next, we see Kat at the tattoo shop. And Yolanda, who is Los's baby mom, she comes in and she's looking for him. He's not there, even though she's been in communication with him earlier that day and says that he'll be at the shop all day working. But Kat let her know that he was done early and he has already left. So baby mom Yolanda asks if she can speak to Kat outside in private. There they talk about the relationship that Los has with his daughter and with Yolanda. It's pretty much nothing that Los has been telling Kat. So Yolanda lets Kat know, like, no, he's not seeing the baby. He should be hanging out with her and seeing her. He makes her all of these promises and he doesn't come through. And Kat says, well, you know, that's not what I heard. You know, he says that he wants to see the baby or he tries to see the baby. And then Yolanda pulls out her text message and shows those receipts and was like, look here, he was supposed to see her. But then he changed his mind, says he doesn't agree to it or he didn't agree to it. And Kat is just in shock because that's not what she's been hearing. So then Kat says something along the lines of, well, he is paying child support, right? And Yolanda says, no, he's not. And so Kat is just dumbfounded and just can't believe it. And from being a single mom, she feels for Yolanda and she's like, that's not right. So then we cut from them and now we go to Nicole at her man's house, Tori Craig, who plays for the Nuggets. And she is trying to cook. Let's let that sink in. She is trying to cook. She was making pancakes and you know how you use a whisk to, you know, stir the pancake batter. I'm pretty sure she had a spoon in her hand. She was attempting to cook pancakes and bacon. She burned both of those to a crisp and bless her heart because he still ate his food. He just said that it tasted a little charred, but you know, it was the thought that counts. So I'm really trying to figure out, does he really like her? Or does he have one the sexy goggles where she's just beautiful because, you know, she's walking around looking like everything, half naked, and he's here for it. He says that he's going to eat the food. It's just a little charred. No big deal. She said that it wasn't her fault that the food was burnt. She said that it was the pans, that the pans were cheap. So he was not here for that one, but he was like, okay, you know, it's the thought that counts. It is what it is. So then she decides that she wants to go have a date with him and she wants to go do jet skis and she would like to invite Stephanie and make it a double date. So if Tori could bring a friend, then that would be great. So he knows exactly who he's going to bring up. He brings Dino, who is good looking, and they get it set up. So she lies and tells Stephanie that it's just a girl's day. They're going to ride some jet skis, have some fun for about an hour or so. That would be that. Next, we go into Diana and Magic. They are meeting up, having some cocktails, and instantly I wrote in my notes, what is happening with all of the question marks? Because you can feel the sexual tension here. They are vibing, they are flirting hard, and I know Magic, and I have talked to that type of dude before, where he plays the whole, you're dangerous, I know what you're trying to do, you're flirting with me game. Been there, done that. I spotted that a mile away. I saw that he was trying to get at her, and I didn't think that she was going to be receptive to it, especially because of a chick she knows and loves named Isis. But we find out in this segment that she quit Isis because Isis is in jail. Okay, so let's pause here. What the hell? So you and your husband go to jail and then you get out and he's in jail and you quit him. Then in jail, you have met Isis and you decided to carry on a relationship with her outside of jail. And now she's back in jail and you quit her. So where's the loyalty? I mean, at what point? I mean, you just meet people and then they get locked up and then you just leave them? I need to know more because I can't understand it. And this Magic seems like to be a pretty cool, chill guy. And if he's feeling her, if anything ever happens, she's going to leave you at the drop of a dime. I don't know if that's good or bad. I just kind of come from where you don't just leave people when they go to jail. Especially, it depends on the situation, and I don't want to be all judgy, but I need more information. Anywho, Kat joins their little group, and so does Los, and Kat immediately goes into that she met with Yolanda, and that she believes Yolanda. He should be seeing his kid, and she brought up the child support, and Los is just not having it, and he was like, I can't believe you're listening to her and believing her, and this is your first time meeting her. You know me, I'm your people. Why are you going off of what she says? And so she looks at him and she goes, well, one of you is lying to my face. She told me this. You're telling me that. I saw her text messages. And he said there's no communicating with her, that when he does go over there, she calls the police. And he says, why are you listening? This is like girl power. We stand together, women type of thing. And she said, no, she can understand both sides of it, but she really feels for her because she's been the single mom before. So she gets needing help. And Diana is also, she's starting to get emotional. And she tells Los, like, look, whatever the situation is, make the effort to see your child more because you are here right now today and we don't know what tomorrow brings. She tells him how she's got a man, her ex-husband, who loves his children and would give anything to be with his kids right now, but he can't, at least for the next 14 years, because he's locked up. And I think that kind of hit home, and hopefully that makes Los think about things and how he can open up that communication to communicate with the mother of his child. And Magic does step in and says, you know what, me and my wife are going through a separation, but my son is the most important thing, so I figure it out, and I'm in constant communication with her for our child because my son is my life. And he also said that he feels like every single person should make sure that their child is number one. And I was here for Magic for that. Okay, then we get to Nicole and Steph's double date. They are on jet skis and they are playing around. First of all, before we even go there, Steph walks up looking like a model. She's freaking gorgeous. She's got on this swimsuit that just, it fits her perfectly. She is just gorgeous. Again, there are no ugly people on this show. So she walks up. She's already apprehensive. She sees what's going on. She sees two guys there with them. So I'm sure she's like, oh, I know exactly what this is. And Nicole tells her immediately, this is Dino, this is the guy that's going to be your date today, we're double dating, this is Tori, this is my dude. I thought that Steph would have had an instant attitude or maybe even left, and she didn't. She was pleasurable. She said, okay, let's make the best of this. And she does say, I'm mad at her, but, you know, we're just going to get through this. I think she was instantly attracted to him, and he was good looking, so I get it. So they do go on these jet skis. They're playing around, having fun. Of course, jet skis, water. All you hear is annoying Nicole. My eyelashes, my hair. I could not with her. I want to can and I can't. So that's all I'm going to say about Nicole. But that was that whole entire segment of everything of her. You play too much, no games, my eyelashes, hair, all that business. Stephanie's having a good time. They end up talking, her and Dino. They talk to each other. She asks, does he speak Spanish? He's a black guy. He says, yeah, I know a little bit of Spanish. He doesn't want to speak any of it, but she does say a couple things and he understands it and responds. So I think she liked that a little bit. And then she ended the segment saying that maybe she is ready to date and start trusting men again, and that she actually did have a good time. So for that, Nicole, you do get kudos. We end the episode with Maria and Michael having lunch together in their beautiful kitchen. They had some deli sandwiches and a shot of something. I don't know what was in this little plastic cup. It was almost not big enough to even be a shot. So I just wonder what it was. And it was brown. It was like dark and it almost looked thick. So not sure what that was all about. That's what they had. And that deli sandwich looked so good, and I feel like we're gonna have deli sandwiches for dinner tomorrow because it looked like a very good time. Michael tells Marie about his 420 plans, and she is like, no way. Magic went to jail for marijuana. It's not legal here in Florida. What are you doing? And Michael tells her, well, this is our chance to get rich. This is going to blow up. Nobody's doing it here. And Cookies is the biggest brand. Proceeds to tell him, look, it's not about the money. It's about you and your safety and our family. And I don't want to lose you. So I felt that moment. I loved that moment. And I hope he hears that and understands it. And that if this is a really good business venture, that he explains it to her and makes sure that it's legal and just keeps her a part of it. Because those two, they're a power couple. They're together and everything. They work together. They love each other. They are for each other. So as long as he moves forward with her blessing and with her included, I think that this whole Cookies Pure Blanco brand could be something big. Hey, I'd buy it. Well, would I buy it? Is it actual marijuana? See, that's the thing, is because Pure Blanco is a clothing company. So if it's a piece of clothing, I'll buy the hoodie. Okay? All right, friends, that is this episode. I hope you enjoyed it. Please go on and rate, review, and subscribe. Also share, tell your friends about me and this podcast. Join the Facebook group. Just search for Say What, Shishi, and I will let you write in. Also follow me on social media at Say What Shishi Podcast. We will talk soon. Bye, friends.